You're tuned in to the 49th Hour podcast.
So guys, it's me, it's your boy. Okay, I won't do that anymore. Call me Jordan.
What's going on?
You want to try that again or no?
No. I mean,
it's running back.
I sound good. Yeah. So the Niners won Sunday. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
You mean Saturday?
Play.
I guess Saturday. It feels like, you know.
I didn't catch it.
All right, just take me off the show.
Oh, yeah, the defense played lights out. They were very, very good for facing the Cardinals, at least. Kyler Murray, all that sort of thing. Doing what he can do underground. He led his team in rushing yards at 75. He threw a pick in the end zone to Witherspoon, so... he played lights on. B3rd was pretty efficient, doing what he did best, getting the job done.
Yeah, so Ayuk's hurt, for anybody that didn't see. He had an ankle sprain at the beginning of the game on Saturday, so he's out for the year, which is one game. So get excited because it's Craycraft season. So it's kind of, you know, it's nice they had that win at the end, but, you know, this week's going to be a little – If they win this game, it's going to be up there with that, like, U.S., like, hockey team beating, beat like, the Dream On, like, the Miracle on Ice. Like, there's no – they're not beating Seattle's still fighting for playoff seeding. Like, it's going to be tough. Trent Williams is out. Ayuk's out. Tabor Pepper's out. Like, it seems like they got, like, a signature win. Like, they had, a feel-good, like, ruined-a-division rivals, you know, chance at the playoffs maybe because, obviously, the Bears and Mitch Trubisky are going to make it. Like, that's a given. Like, duh. Like – but yeah, this week, I don't know. It's not looking good. The news that's coming out right now, there's a lot of guys. It's clear they're going to be precautious. Like there's nothing really to play for. And it doesn't seem worth it to risk those guys. So, you know, with Ayuk and Williams out, it's kind of a big loss. It's going to be hard to overcome.
You think Kittle will start playing?
No, Kittle's going to play. Yeah. If he's not hurt, I haven't seen anything about him. He's definitely going to play.
Yeah.
But we had to get that win and hurt our draft pick, you know? So if the Patriots lose tonight, Niners have the 15th pick. We're in no man's land again. If they would have lost on Saturday, they would have the number 10 pick right now. And considering other help from other teams too, they could end up with at least a top 5 pick. But you know, morale, gotta give the
no. Yeah, I think the win was good. I mean, obviously, a win is always good. But kind of making the playoff chances for the Cardinals more iffy after the year that they've had just kind of, you know, feels good. But I feel like the news that came out like 10 minutes ago about Ayuk and Williams and Pepper and we don't even know who's going to even be playing on the line or our offensive line. I feel like that's just kind of like the definition of the 49ers season this year. Just something good always happens and then just follows up with just, oh, well, this person's hurt. Oh, well, then this person's hurt. And then this person's hurt. So it's just like piles on after, you know, a win or, you know, whatever. I just feel like that's been the definition of this season.
It's Tony Bergstrom season. Let's go.
Yep.
Because we all know who that is.
He's a new tackle or new guard, one of the two.
Or center. I don't even know what he is anymore.
Just fill the holes. I wouldn't even be mad if Kittle was on the line, honestly.
I mean, technically it is on the line.
Well, I know, but I mean like playing tackle or guard.
You could.
No. But yeah, I really enjoyed the game. It was entertaining to watch, for one. Witherspoon played amazing. I mean, he had that one, like, 40-yard catch to Christian Kirk, I think, at the beginning of the game. But ever since then, he played pretty well. And now Richard Sherman won't play in Seattle. Just got that notification.
Yeah, they're going to sit most of those guys. It's like, you know, they'll say there's nothing, no such thing as a meaningless game, and all these people getting, like, riled up about, like, draft slot. Like, yeah, you want to win, but there's no reason to risk, like, hurting guys in a Week 17 game that you really don't, like, benefit from, like, at all. Like,
right.
Like I said, they made their statement on Saturday. You know, they can still win with subpar players, but you're not going to, like, risk hurting them. Like, especially Sherman. Sherman's probably not coming back. Why would he, like, you know, he doesn't have an agent in his ear because he's his own agent, but being the smart person he is, I don't blame him for not playing. What the hell would you risk getting hurt for? Like, I don't think anybody would consider him a bad teammate because he doesn't want to play in a meaningless game that, you know, that doesn't really mean much.
I was saying earlier, I want Rosen to start this game, or at least play in the second half. I mean, who cares, right?
He's not going to know the offense.
We don't even know who's on our O-line anymore. That's to the point where we're at right now. So...
CJ's been here for 4 years, man. He's definitely earned the right to play a couple games, especially if he's not coming back next year. Like, Rosen's been here for, like, 10 days. And, like, I know everybody's all like, oh, let's see what he has. See, like, dude, I watched enough Josh Rosen at UCLA. Like, I don't need to see him at the NFL. Like, I saw him at UCLA. He's not that good. Like, he has some plus tools. Like, he's not, like, this awful quarterback. But, like, there's a reason why he was behind Blaine Gabbert on Tampa Bay's practice squad. And there's a reason why all these teams with quarterback issues and – shuffling rosters with COVID, he's been on their practice squad the entire year until now. Like, he's not that good. Like, I get it. People got fed up watching Mullins, and they got fed up watching, like, you know, stretches of, you know, Jimmy Early, and, like, you know, Beathard was pretty good yesterday, so don't throw him in. But there were times throughout this year where people were just fed up with quarterback play. So I get they want something new, but, like, Josh Rosen really isn't that good. Like, I respect the fact that he's still grinding and he's kind of put in a crappy situation as somebody that's had to move around because Arizona obviously had him for a year. They moved him to Miami. Miami moved on from him to get a new quarterback. But it also speaks volumes. Like, it's a business. If he was that good, these guys wouldn't be passing him around like that. Like, at a certain point, you got to, you know. He's an insurance policy. He's not, you know, I don't see the benefit to starting him, truthfully. Like,
I mean, I don't see the benefit either, but I'm not saying, like, he's, like, this MVP candidate, you know, right off the bat or anything. Like, obviously, he's not good at all, but I think it'd just be pretty funny to see, you know, him throwing the ball out there or something.
I think it'd be a good backup next year. I think that'd be a good starting point. At least let him learn offense and keep on the squad next year and see who they pick up in the draft or trade or wherever. It's nice to have that improvement and back him in the backup quarterback area, at least.
Yeah.
Two thumbs up, but I don't think Oakland's going to let him go. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised in the slightest if Oakland moves on from Derek Carr and they keep Mariota instead, and they kind of have sort of a gap. I wouldn't be surprised to see them take a quarterback, too. Like, everybody's talking about the 49ers getting a quarterback and sitting behind a veteran. Like, John Gruden's had the same team control, not the same team, the same team control for 3 years. He obviously has that 10-year deal, so he's not really on the hot seat. He has plenty of security, and if they fire him, he's going to get paid to do nothing. So he kind of has all the leverage. But at a certain point, you have to think that it's clearly not working in Oakland. Like, they've had a mostly healthy team. They obviously had a couple issues with the COVID stuff for a couple games where they were at a disadvantage. But they've had a fairly healthy team most of the year, and they have one win more than the 49ers do with a much easier schedule on the back half. So I would not be surprised in the slightest to see them cut Derek Carr. If I remember correctly, there is it's a dead cap hit less than $10 million. It's not the small one that Jimmy's would be if they cut Jimmy. So it's not exactly the same as the 49ers. But I wouldn't be surprised at all to see the Raiders cut Derek Carr, start Mariota next year, and then have somebody sit behind Mariota for a year. I know Gruden's a huge fan of Mariota's. You know, I could see him getting wary with Derek Carr. So I don't think Mariota's going to be available. If he would, I would love to have Mariota as a bridge quarterback. I'm a big fan of his. I think that he would do really well in this system with proper coaching. I think for a long time, he was kind of at a disadvantage in Tennessee. I know the GOAT quarterback, Tannehill, has already, you know, kind of made him an afterthought there because he came in under the same scheme and played way better. Ryan Tannehill's a really good quarterback. I think people are finally realizing that. So I think Mariota would be dope. Honestly, I'm with it.
So Derek Carr's dead cap is $2.5 million. They save $19 million if they cut him or trade him.
I don't know if they
possible.
Really cut him, to be honest. I mean, he hasn't put up a bad year or for this year. I mean, he has been pretty bad in the past. But yeah, I mean, he's at 37 yards or 3,700 yards, 25 touchdowns, 7 picks, and he has like 102 rating. So, I mean, he's not terrible, but I mean, I feel like Carr's just always been average for pretty much his entire career.
I will say this. I think this is his best year since his rookie year.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Because his rookie year, he was actually putting on a tear. And I honestly think they could have gone pretty far in playoffs if he didn't break his leg.
Yeah. I don't know if they'll cut him at all. I mean, Mariota has been Mariota, so I don't know what that could even turn into. But kind of going back to the Cardinals game, because I kind of want to focus on that a little bit, because there's a lot of good things coming out of that game. I feel like Jeff Wilson Jr. was one of the kind of like not talked about underdog sort of people of the game, because the man had 183 yards on 22 carries, averaged 8.3 yards a carry, with a long of 34 yards for a carry. But he pretty much put the team on his back for pretty much the entire game, other than B3rd, you know, being the quarterback that he was. But I feel like Jeff Wilson just hasn't been talked about that much. And I tweeted out yesterday that he was the second highest running back on 49ers, right behind Frank Gore for a regular season high for yardage. He had 204 total yards, and Frank Gore had 246 against the Seahawks in 2004, 2008, maybe. I can't remember the year. I thought that was pretty interesting also.
Yeah, so Jeff Wilson, I've been seeing some tweets on Twitter that people want Wilson to start over Mostert next year. And I don't agree with that. I think Mostert should be the starting running back.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be a great 1-2 punch.
Mm-hmm.
I think using Wilson on third down situations, fourth and one, short goal line situations, just like that. I think Wilson would be great at those types of formations and everything. Mm-hmm. I do think they should draft a running back, because I don't think McKinnon and Coleman do come back. I would like to see them do draft a running back in the later rounds, like sixth or seventh round, or even undrafted, because they always do a great job of game production to have undrafted free agents.
Well, don't you forget about Hasty. Don't do that to me.
I did forget Hasty, I'm sorry.
Dude, no, Hasty's going to be a beast in the league for sure. I'm so excited to see him next year. Hopefully he'll get a lot more snaps next year, even with Mostert and hopefully Wilson, because I think Wilson's a free agent, if I'm not wrong.
Wilson is a restricted free agent. Hasty is a ERFA.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm sure they bring Hasty back for sure.
They most likely will bring back Wilson too.
Yeah, I mean, because like you said, Wilson and Mostert are a good 1-2 punch, because that's what, when Mostert came back from his ankle sprain, that's kind of how they were using him, as Wilson will get the bulk of the carries and like in the red zone, and Mostert would just kind of get the job done down the field, pretty much. So them being a 1-2 punch, I'm totally comfortable with that, even if we have like Jimmy as our QB or something.
if you guys notice, the Niners used the same play 3 times against the Cardinals. They did with Jeff Wilson twice, Raheem Mostert once. Last game against the Cardinals last year, that Texas route.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They did that with him last year. They did it with Raheem Mostert week 1, and they just did it again in the last game.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Wilson. That's just incredible, actually.
And that was Wilson's only catch too, for 21 yards.
I mean, if it works, it works.
Yeah. I was pretty surprised when I saw that.
They also won the turnover game. If CJ actually wins against Seattle next week, he will actually have more as many wins as Nick Mullins did this season. And
do what?
If CJ Beathard, if he wins against Seattle, he will have as many wins as Nick Mullins did all season.
Oh, jeez.
And the reason the Niners are actually winning is they won Saturday because they actually won the turnover battle too. And that's what killed the Niners offense because they keep turning over the ball consistently. So you're with Mullins fumbling the ball, interceptions, and just unnecessary stuff. And I think if they keep on protecting the football, I think they have a better chance of winning the game.
Yeah, I mean, Seattle's defense, when we face them at least, they seem like they're the best defense in the league. But, I mean, obviously they aren't. So hopefully Beathard can just kind of tear that defense up and see how it goes.
I'm not expecting much, but Jamal Adams did say they have the best defense in the league. So, you know.
No, that guy is more delusional in Seattle than he has ever been. I swear. I don't know what it is.
I'll be honest, though. His cover skills yesterday weren't too bad, though.
I didn't watch yesterday's game.
I watched some of it. I watched like half of it. I was flipping between that game and the Eagles game to see how Jalen Hurts was playing. And from what I saw, it was a really great defensive game. They got Wilson. They did a lot. They got him down quite a bit. They Jared Goff is so horrible.
Who?
Jared Goff.
Oh, yeah. Never done me that, though.
I mean, the thing is that the Rams are stuck with him for at least 2 years, I would say. And that's the thing about – that's the big difference between the Niners and the Rams. Niners aren't stuck with Jimmy. They can do whatever they want with him. They can choose where they want to do with the quarterback situation right now. And I know we talked about this before, and it just goes to show how great the Niners are doing with these contracts and everything. And they could easily get a lot of money from cutting Jimmy, releasing Dee Ford and Richburg after June 1st. And people have been saying, like, oh, we don't have any money. Like, We will have money. We will find money somewhere. Mm-hmm. And we're not bringing back everybody that's going to be a free agent. We'll bring back, you know, at least a good, I don't know, 10, 15 players. But that's about it, because there's like, what, 40 free agents this year on the Niners? And all of them are coming back.
36, 38, but yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, it's quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And every year, there's a 30-35% yearly turnover of the whole roster. So it, no matter what, the roster's going to be different. And
right.
I don't believe they're going to bring back – they're not going to bring back Sherman. I do believe they bring back Barrett because he's been balling all season.
I hope so. Every night.
They're bringing back Mosley. I think Witherspoon leaves – I think he either leaves with Saleh. I think he either leaves with Saleh, go to Cleveland or Eagles, because Philly definitely needs corners badly, and he can easily start for them if it's possible. I don't see them bringing. I do see them bringing back Hyder, because there's no way you let him go.
Bosa, Hyder, Armstead, and Kinlaw. I'm so ready for it.
I do think they do go after another edge rusher. KP for Niner Nation. He did mention Hassan Reddick, and I do like that. I mean, he's only had one great year, but again, I would like to see that happen. I think Reddick could be a good addition to this team. And it'd be a great depth piece as well.
He has 12.5 sacks this year, by the way. 6 forced fumbles, 12.5 sacks.
There you go. I'd like to see some other players come in. There's just going to be a lot of players that are going to leave this season, and it's people are going to be mad, but you know, it is what it is. We were expecting a big turnover, and the main difference is going to be the quarterback. And people need to know that this team is good. It really is. If honestly, if this team was healthy, we would probably be fighting for the first round bye right now, because that's how good the team is. I hate saying teams are a quarterback away, but this team is a quarterback away from being over the top contenders.
This season, at least.
This season.
Who knows what we'll see next season?
I mean, yeah, every year, every team's different, usually. Even look at the Bengals. Bengals were actually doing pretty decent with Joe Burrow there. And that's
just beat the Texans.
I mean, yeah, Washington's East fine. I mean, the main difference between those two teams are offensive line. They need offensive linemen badly.
Mm-hmm.
Washington needs another offensive weapon because Hopkins, Bill O'Brien is a horrible GM and just trade Hopkins for peanuts.
Yeah.
So that was stupid.
Yeah, we're 12th right now, and oh my gosh, there's a couple mocks that have us having Zach Wilson.
We're 14th, actually.
We're 14th?
We're 14th. If Patriots lose tonight, Niners will be 15th.
Oh. Well, that's depressing.
I mean, it is what it is, though. So with the draft position, I know people have been saying like if we are in the 15 to 32 range, we're going to trade this draft pick away. With the Jets actually winning twice, I do think they keep Sam Darnold, and if they do that, that changes the whole. That changes the draft. It really does. And if Dak leaves, that could also change everything too. So those two factors play a big part of what happens in the QB scenarios. Justin Fields, we need to see how he plays against Clemson. If he does badly against them, then his draft stock definitely will go down. I wouldn't mind having on the Niners. I think he has some improvement he needs to work on, but I wouldn't mind him being on the team. He can make the throws. He can make the deep throws. He can make the reads. It's just that he throws to NFL caliber receivers already. So I want to see how he does. It'd be interesting to see how he does against lesser talent. I mean, I'm not going to say Debo and Ayuk are bad at all. Definitely not. That's definitely not what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, I like to see how Fields does against on a worse team, like the Jets or something, you know? I can see Dallas taking him, too, or Atlanta, because that could fit his system, too. Zach Wilson, his draft stock is increasing by a lot. He could be number two quarterback picked. I think it's going to come down to either Trey Lance, Fields, Wilson maybe. I don't want to say it, but it could be Mac Jones as well. I don't want Kyle Trask anywhere near this offense at all. Because Kyle Trask is not a good quarterback.
Yeah, but I mean, like we've been saying for like the past, month now, if the Niners want their guy, they're going to trade up for him. They're going to give whatever they want to go get their guy. And so, I mean, if that means, first round this year, next year, second, third, whatever, they're going to go get their guy. If that's Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, whoever, they already have their mind made up if they do want to go get a QB, I believe. But yeah, it's just going to come down to whatever they want and whatever they want to do with the roster and for the future.
So there is a article that came out for a mock draft that the Niners trading up to get Zach Wilson at number two. But they gave up, if I remember correctly, they gave up the number one pick this year. Number two pick. Third round pick. And next year's first round and second round and 2023 third round pick for just number two.
Yeah.
Would you guys do that?
If you were the GM? I don't think I would, just because that's so much draft capital. But I mean, it's kind of just like a 50-50. If the QB is, you know, great for the franchise QB or for a franchise QB, then I mean it works out. But and then if not, then you're screwed for the next 2 years. So.
But the Niners do have nine. But the Niners do have nine draft picks, and we don't need all of them.
Yeah, I mean, I think who was it? Let me try to find this guy.
Because you don't need. There's no reason to keep nine draft picks just to draft nine guys.
Right.
We don't have that many holes on the team. Mm-hmm. At least I don't think we do.
I mean, you have to do it if you see how you like.
But with all those draft picks, though, too.
I mean, draft picks are just a crapshoot anyway. If you see a guy you like, you pay the price for it. Like, realistically, like, what if the 49ers, like, yeah, they had Fred Warner in the third. They got Greenlaw in the fifth. They got Kittle in the fifth. Moore is playing pretty good. He was a third-round pick. Like, Witherspoon was a third-round pick. We have guys that are contributing, but they don't have anybody that's like a star that you can point to that's like, oh, no, they didn't have their third or second-round pick. Like, yeah, Debo was nice. They also spent a second-round pick on Dante Pettis, who was on the team for a year and a half and essentially faded into obscurity, is now on the Giants. They spent first-round pick on Reuben Foster, Solomon Thomas. Spent fourth-round pick on Joe Williams. Like, drafting's in an exact science. Yeah, they can tonight, all man. That. Like there's no reason to like hoard draft picks. Like it doesn't matter what you like, how many picks you have. It matters who you get with them. If you hit on the picks you have, it doesn't really matter. So if there's a quarterback that they see that they really think, yeah, this is going to be the guy, this is the person we should move up to get, you do it. Like there's nothing that should hold them back from doing so. Obviously you don't want to pay too much, but they're not really in a position to be making demands. Like they're kind of going to have to find a way to find some middle ground with a team that's in the top five, top six picks, depending on how the board goes. And, you know, if there's somebody that they see and there's a worry that somebody between where they're picking and where they could trade up to that quarterback is going to be taken off the board, you do what you have to. You do what you have to do that. And it's not just with a quarterback. Quarterback's the most important position on the field. So obviously there's a little bit more urgency to trade up. But if it was another position of need, if it was a shutdown cornerback, if it was, a high-end edge rusher that they really like this, it didn't work out, but the Saints gave up their first and then the first the following year, 2 years ago, to trade up to get Marcus Davenport in the first round because they were worried that I believe Green Bay was picking between them. They were worried Green Bay was going to take him. And they thought that he was going to be really good. And he said he hasn't been as good as somebody you'd give up two first round picks for. But at the time, they identified that as their guy. They saw somebody with very good physical traits, very raw, but somebody they believed they could develop. And they went up and they moved it. So it's not unheard of to do it for other positions too. If you see a guy you like in the draft, like that's the whole point of drafting. We see these mock drafts and we see all these reports and all these things. Every other team in the NFL, like they may have a consensus of who the top guys are, but every team has a different draft board. And the farther you get down that draft board, the more the results are going to vary. So if you see a guy you like, you move up to go get him. Like it's that simple. Like if it was that easy, I hate to put it this way, players like DK Metcalf wouldn't fall into the second round. Players like Terry McLaurin wouldn't fall into the second or third round. Like, Danielle Hunter wouldn't be a fourth round pick. Like all these guys that end up falling, like if people knew how good these players were going to be, you wouldn't have guys falling to that far. You know, George Kittle wouldn't have been a fifth round pick. A team wouldn't have taken a tight end, literally the pick before George Kittle. So you just have to trust your gut. You trust your own draft board. You trust your philosophy. These guys have been putting in work. And again, I don't think it's any secret. Like the 49ers have been sending their scouts to watch Zach Wilson. I'm sure they've been watching other quarterbacks too. I'm pretty sure that they were spotted at an Alabama game too. So they're probably watching Mac Jones. But they've gone to multiple BYU games and they've sent high-end, like top personnel to go do it. So I don't think that they're just doing that for fun or to like throw people off with some smokescreen. Like they're clearly looking at some of these quarterbacks. They just have to decide if it's worth it to move up. But yeah, it's the losing picks isn't like a huge loss. Like the 49ers gave up a third and a fourth for Emmanuel Sanders for 4 months, 3 months. They almost won a Super Bowl because of it. And, you know, as much as it sucked not to have those picks this year, if they ended up winning the Super Bowl, would anybody question it? Like, would anybody complain about those picks being gone? Hell no. And of course you don't. If they get a quarterback that ends up being a franchise guy for the next 10, 12 years, whatever, are people really going to look back and be like, damn, this guy's been really good. He's had a hell of a career. But the 49ers lost a couple day two picks. You know, I don't know. Like, I just don't see it happening. Like, if there's a guy, it's pretty simple. If there's a guy there you like, you go and you get them. Like, it's as clear cut as I can put it.
Yeah. So Eric Crocker was the guy that I was thinking of. He tweeted out earlier today. First said fans value draft picks too much. And then he followed up with saying, this is going to sound obvious, but draft picks should be used to get great or to get players that you really want. I'd rather get four players that I love than 10 to just draft. He said, work the draft, move up, move back. If you end up with more picks, great. If you end up with less picks, cool too. So I'm pretty sure that kind of summed up what Jordan was saying. But yeah, if the Niners love Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, whoever, then they're going to move up to get him.
Right. It's going to be a really interesting offseason this year. We won't know till we hear more about until Kyle starts focusing on the draft and free agency. I think that's when we'll start to notice more hints from what Kyle really wants this offseason. Even though Kyle already had this quote today, his coach speak was, Jimmy G is going to be our quarterback for 2021. It's like, okay. Just coach talk. We know it's coach talk. So, yeah.
Season. It can go either way because we know how Kyle is with his loyalty and that sort of thing, and how much he values the players on his team and that sort of route. But I mean, who knows? It could be just coach talk, and I feel like almost every fan out there, besides the Jimmy G stands, want it to be coach talk. So. Anyways, so transitioning back to the Cardinals team, Kwon Williams is a freaking robot, I swear. He got, like, carried off the field with some leg issue, I believe. And then he comes back, like, a drive later. Fine, plays extremely well, gets a sack. Like, what what is going on? I don't understand what was going on with Kwon at the game. But you said that he is a free agent next year or next season, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we definitely need to bring Kwon back, without a doubt, just because of how elite he's been for like the past forever. So, but going along with, Kwon and getting, or Kwon, not Kwon. I always say K or Kwon. I don't know how many times we blitzed the Cardinals. I didn't see the numbers, but I feel like it was almost every other play at least. And it benefited the defense a crazy amount because Kyler just seemed like he was always on his toes and he would always just try to get away and he would just end up throwing the ball away or, you know, throw a pick off his back foot or, you know, just try to make something happen with his feet. But it always just seemed like we contained him and just, you know, kept him in the pocket and didn't let him scramble for 50 some odd yards, you know, down the field. So Saleh did an amazing job this game, I feel like, and it only improved his stock to be, you know, coach or whatever. But I do feel like the defense is the defense played really, really well this game. And I don't think it was really talked about enough throughout this week or throughout yesterday, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the big thing today, obviously, I'm sure people are seeing if anybody's on Twitter right now, is Shanahan was asked about a bunch of stuff, but the one that everybody's talking about, it seems like on the timeline, is his thing where I commend Kyle Shanahan for his wordplay. He's done a very good job towing the line where, regardless of what he does next year with numerous players, but specifically the quarterback position, he has so much flexibility because if he ends up cutting a guy, if he moves on, he can be like, you know, I didn't say with certainty. I said, I believe, you know, things change. You know, we had a chance to upgrade. He can kind of dance around it. And if he ends up bringing somebody back, he can always fall back on, I said, oh, I believe. And that was his quote today. He said, I do believe. Do be the guy. And I don't want to, you know, dive too deep into it because people already know how I feel. I don't want him back here. I don't think he will be back here. But I'm just saying, from a basic human interaction standpoint, if somebody really believes in another person, they don't say, I do believe he will be. Like, he would say, he's the guy. Stop fucking asking me these questions. Stop bugging me. Like, he's our guy. Leave me alone. Literally last year, 2019. So, yeah, it's still 2020. So, technically last year, 2019, leading up to the draft, all the buzz was about how Kyler Murray was going to go to Arizona number one overall. Cliff Kingsbury came out, flat out said, no, Josh Rosen's our guy. Josh is our guy. Literally a week before the draft, Josh Rosen's our guy. Stop. No. He didn't say, stop asking me these questions. He didn't say, you know, oh, I believe. He flat out said, Josh Rosen's our guy. And what did the Cardinals do? The Cardinals took Kyler Murray at the first pick. But you know what the Cardinals also probably did? They also probably fielded calls on the first overall pick, because that's what a smart organization does when you have an asset of that caliber, when you have something that's that valuable. And if teams knew that they were going to take Kyler, maybe they thought that they could trick the 49ers into them, that they were going to take Bosa, and the 49ers would give up a haul to move up one spot to get Bosa. We saw the Bears do the same thing with Trubisky in 2017. It's kind of – it's stupid to tell – just broadcast and tell the world what your plans are when you have an asset that you can still leverage. Like, I don't expect Kyle to say, oh, I'm going to cut Jimmy. Like, I'm done with him, or I'm going to trade him, or he hasn't been healthy and it fucked up our season that we, you know, invested all these resources into. Of course he's not going to say that. And he also is going to treat him with respect, because as much as he may be annoyed with his play on the field, like, he still goes in and he still contributes to the team. He's still, you know, still a member of the organization. But, like, he's not going to come out and flat out say, like, what team is going to give up any kind of assets for a player that a coach is openly just like, yeah, I'm fucking done with this guy. Like, he can't make it work in my vanilla watered down offense that I'm having to scale back for him. I'm not saying Kyle Shanahan has a vanilla offense. I'm saying the offense that we're seeing is a vanillified version of Kyle's offense. And this dude is still struggling, and he's not making it work. I honestly don't see a team giving up much for him anyway. But at least in this case, there's always the fallback of if they can't get a Matthew Stafford, if there isn't a way to move up in the draft, if they are kind of like, you know what, we'll run it back with Jimmy. Like, why not? Like, there's always the fallback of, yeah, I said I believed you was our guy, but it's not a ringing endorsement. And it's something that people really need to pay attention to, because they were going to upgrade from him 3 weeks after a Super Bowl appearance. They were looking at Tom Brady. They were literally looking at a guy who's 43 years old. Like, he's 43 years old. And they were like, you know what, maybe this guy, I know he's Tom Brady, but they wouldn't be kicking the tires on another quarterback if they were convinced that Jimmy was the guy. They ultimately decided to stick with Jimmy for another year. There was going into the year, there was all of this, you know, stuff brought up like, hey, this is his prove it year. He has a chance to, you know, really make it known that he's a guy of the future. And he got hurt. It's unfortunate. Like, I feel bad for the guy. I would have much rather him gone out and played and just had his play be the deciding factor in this. But the best ability is availability. And if you're not on the field, like, it's kind of hard to justify teams to keep running it back with you. And Kyle's not stupid. Like, he knows that the defense isn't as good as it will. The defense next year isn't as good as it was in 2019. The odds of it being the same are slim to none. He's going to have to make some changes. They're going to have to be able to score more points. They're going to have to be able to get more creative on offense. Like, the guy's not an idiot. So I just would take all that with a grain of salt personally right now. Like, and I could be wrong. Maybe he really does believe in him. But the way he said he so easily weeks ago, 3 months ago after the Seattle game, when he was asked about all this stuff, he could have just been like, Jimmy's our guy for next year. Next question. Jimmy's our guy for next year. But the way he's wording it, like, he's a used car salesman, man. Like, I don't know. It's just, it's so funny. People are buying, like, putting stock into this. Like, we'll just see. Actions speak louder than words. I don't want to keep, like, ranting about this, but Kyle Shanahan, like, you can't trust Kyle Shanahan and you can't trust John Lynch. Like, these guys literally did the same shit with DeForest Buckner. And they were like, DeForest Buckner's a huge part of our future. He's going to be a 49er for a long time. And Jason, they went behind his back after the Super Bowl and started shopping him and told him, hey, you're too expensive for us. Like, if you think that DeForest Buckner is expendable, but Jimmy Garoppolo isn't, like, you, I don't know what football team you've been watching. You guys can go from there. That's just all I have to say.
Have you also been noticing that Kyle's been ignoring the Jimmy Garoppolo questions the past month or so? Because people are asking, like, hey, what's the future for Jimmy? He just kind of brushed it off and everything. And yes, he had a comment after the end of the presser today. Said, any more Jimmy free agent questions? One more week, then I'll be on vacation. So he's clearly tired. I know he's just joking around, but he's clearly tired of being asked about Jimmy and everything. And like Jordan said, I think he's gone. I don't think he's here anymore. He has $27 million cap hit. They need that for Fred Warner, Trent Williams, K-1 Williams. They need a cap space badly, and they don't have much to begin with. I can see them trading off Dee Ford is possible. They could. I don't think they will, because people know Dee Ford's situation right now. I think he's done playing. I think his career's over, because his injury just keeps coming back up to him, and it just keeps affecting him. Richburg might be the same way too. Richburg hasn't been fully healthy in a very long time, so there's going to be a lot of factors. There's going to be a lot of changes. It is what it is.
That's what the draft is, though. It's just a lot of factors that play into it. If this happens, then this happens. And if this doesn't happen, then we got to go do this. If this doesn't happen, then we have to go do that. So it's just kind of like, it's just draft day stuff that you have to kind of just pay attention and watch as it goes on, really. Because, I mean, then again, like what we've been saying, we don't know about the Dak situation, so we don't know what Dallas is going to be doing. Then we don't know, you know, about the Jets, if they're going to stick with Darnold, or if they're going to, you know, go with Fields or Wilson or whoever. So,
or Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, Chicago, too. I mean, Jimmy could go there, too. So, I mean, there's that instance also. So, there's just a lot of, if this happens, then this will happen sort of situation that will be very popular over the course of the off season.
I'm very curious to see what New England does.
What, quarterback?
Because Cam's not it. I mean, Cam's only had 1 year deal, so I'm very curious to see what happens with them. They could draft a quarterback. Jimmy could go back to New England.
That'd be so stupid.
It's possible, though.
I know. Yeah, I know.
I don't know. This is going to be a really... Anything is possible. Anything is possible. Okay, Kevin Garnett. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting.
The thing with New England that gets me is, it's so funny, is I know there's a lot of people... Like, there's a lot of disagreements. I respect everybody's opinion. But I just have to question, like, when people say stuff like, oh, the 49ers are going to regret it if they move on. He's going to go to New England and win all these games. Like, did people watch Patriot games? Like, have they seen that group of skill position players that the Patriots are working with? Do they not understand that Jacoby Myers, who's, you know, he's a decent receiver, undrafted free agent, is literally their best skill position player by a wide margin? And Tom Brady, who's a first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the best players of all time, couldn't get it done with that same skill position group. Cam Newton, yeah, he's not Cam of old. Cam Newton's a league MVP. Cam's struggling with that same position group, but Jimmy Garoppolo, who's had one of the best play callers in the league and has had Debo Samuel and George Kittle and one of the best run games in football, couldn't get it done, but he's going to go to New England and he's going to make it work with a bunch of undrafted free agents at a skill position. Like, I just don't understand how people like get this logic and like somehow convince themselves like, yeah, he's just going to go back to New. Like, if Bill Belichick thought he was going to be that good, he wouldn't let him go in the first place. And there's all these rumors about how Brady wanted him out and he wanted to push him out. Like, dude, Bill Belichick has more equity than any other coach probably in all of sports, not just football. Like, that guy has brought them to 9 Super Bowls. He's brought them to seemingly the AFC Championship game every single year. They've had one of the best 2-decade runs in the history of major league sports, not just football. Like, nobody's telling Bill Belichick who he can and can't have on his roster. I can promise you, if he really wanted Jimmy Garoppolo that badly, they would have found a way to make it work. I'm sure he still thinks very highly of Jimmy. I'm sure he likes Jimmy, but people make it out like, oh, he's just itching to get him back, and he just can't wait to get him back. Like, how many times do we have to see this happen? Bill Belichick did the same thing with Matt Cassel, traded off Matt Cassel. Matt Cassel was a decent quarterback. He wasn't great. He was average. He was okay for Kansas City. Wasn't awful. He did the same thing with Jacoby Brissett, traded off Jacoby Brissett after a couple games. Wasn't terrible. Wasn't awful. And it just, at a certain point, you have to, like, realize that this guy is a step ahead of, like, most of the league when he's doing these, making these decisions and he's doing this roster turnover. Like, Bill Belichick isn't just letting some guy that he thinks is going to be a star. And, like, you know, I'm sure when they drafted Jimmy, they had a plan that he was going to take over and he was going to take that next step. He wouldn't have let him walk, and he wouldn't have turned down the offers that he was reportedly getting the springtime of 2017. The 49ers got him around Halloween. Springtime, it was reported he was being offered first-round picks for him. He wouldn't have turned down a first-round pick and accepted a second just because Robert Kraft was like, Brady wants him gone. I can't have him here. Brady wants him gone. Like, Bill Belichick isn't built like that. He'd be coaching a different team if it was really that, if that was the dynamic by now. So, I don't know. I just think this whole thing, like, I honestly, I hope he goes to New England because it's not going to work there. And it's going to feel pretty good to be able to point back and say, hey, like, I tried to tell you. Like, I don't care who you are. Like, you're not making it work when Jakobi Meyers and Damian Harris and Sony Michel with his, like, you know, knees hurt are your best players. Like, I don't know. I don't want to rant about it, but it makes no sense.
Julian Edelman, you know.
He's been hurt, like, all year, and he's, like, 34 now. Yeah, like, I love Julian Edelman, but.
But that was, like, Ray's only offensive weapon on that.
Julian Edelman would be a better quarterback than Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh, my God.
Hey, what about Mohamed Sanu? He has a perfect rating right now.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm obviously joking about Edelman. But, yeah, no, like, it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I wish him the best. I hope he goes somewhere to a good situation. And, you know, if he ends up staying, it's cool. I'm going to have very tempered expectations. If he starts next year for the 49ers, regardless of their – unless they go on some miraculous run and they add Aaron Donald and Hopkins and all these guys somehow miraculously end up on the Niners roster, I'm not picking them to win the division next year. I don't care how good the team – like, it's unrealistic to expect that they're going to be able to win the way they did in 2019 next year, given the roster turnover. And given the fact that Bosa is going to be coming back from an ACL injury, the fact that D Ford is such a question mark, Buckner's obviously gone. Like, Sherman will probably be gone. Like, it's not the same. Like, and that's the thing that gets me, is it's so funny. People keep saying, run it back. Like, you can't just stop time. Like, windows in the NFL are so small. You can't just be like, run it back. We almost had it last year. We'll just run it back. Oh, he got injured for a year. All right, we'll run it back again. Like eventually, like, time catches up to you. So. Yeah. I don't know. I would, if he comes back next year, obviously there's a lot of roster moves. There's a lot of stuff to be made. I don't feel comfortable picking him over the Seahawks. Rams and Cardinals are a question mark, but as long as Russell Wilson's there, I'm not confidently picking the 49ers to win the division. If it's Jimmy or Russ, and those are the guys going head to head, regardless of the rest of the roster around them, I'm not picking against Russell Wilson.
Wow, that was a long Jimmy ranting session. Let me tell you though.
That could be, you know, a conclusion. Like,
I can throw in more if you'd like.
I don't know if we have time for that, honestly.
I'm waiting to listen to this presser by Kyle. I want to see his closing thoughts about Jimmy. So,
yeah, I don't know. He's just said this so many, or like he said the same thing so many times about different players. About, you know, this guy's our dude, so. George. Oh, he just dipped down. Okay.
He left. Okay.
I don't know if that made him mad or. I think it.
There he is.
Oh.
Going back. Yeah. I don't know if he's on there, but yeah, no, I don't hate him. I just.
I'm dislike
sick.
Him.
We're tired of him.
Oh, if this guy was healthy, he can't stay healthy. If this guy was healthy, like, everything would be cool. Like, dude, I'm over it. Like, I'm a 49ers fan, first and foremost. Like, I love the 49ers, but I also love reality. And the reality is they barely got by. Like, what would the narrative have been if Seattle gets that one extra inch against Drake Greenlaw? I was at that game in Seattle. It was a fantastic game. Football's a game of inches. I get it. There's so many what ifs. But imagine they go into that game and he loses that game against Seattle. That would make him 0-3 against Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, the 49ers' main division rival. He came this close to doing it. And the other two games, it was, you know, the first game it was close. He played awful. Like, I was at both of those games last year. The 49ers should have lost that game by 10 points. Like, that was probably his worst game as a 49er, if not the Seattle game this year. Like, at what point do we realize that, like, this dude is the, like, person holding this team back? Like, I don't care. I know people are sick of hearing it. Like, that's not really my, like, I apologize. If you don't want to hear it, like, you don't have to listen to me. But I'm just saying. So obvious that this guy is literally the thing that's holding back this team. Like, did anybody watch Aaron Rodgers? I know Aaron Rodgers is a generational talent. He's phenomenal. But Aaron Rodgers is running literally the same exact offense that the 49ers run. And I get it. He's much better than 99% of the quarterbacks in the league. He's phenomenal. But that dude was in a blizzard throwing dimes last night with pressure in his face, running across frozen, slippery grass. And he was throwing dimes. And that's what this 49ers offense could look like. If you get the right personnel and you get somebody that can actually execute it. So I would encourage people, even the Titans run the same offense, or, you know, very similar offense. Watch the Titans, watch even the Brett, dude. Baker Mayfield went from a guy they were talking about replacing and being a bust to somebody who's leading them to the play. I mean, they just lost to the Jets. They were out missing bummer. But if you watch every other team except for the 49ers this year, that's running that offense has ranked in the top 10 of offensive efficiency. Tennessee is, Green Bay is, and Cleveland is. I think Cleveland might be borderline top 10. I know they haven't. They're the most efficient offense. for the second half of the season. But if you look at it, like, the system works for you, but you need somebody that can pilot it, that's actually going to be available and that can improvise when it doesn't work. And I'm just over this guy not succeeding when everything's on a silver platter for him. I wish him the best. I'm happy for all the fun times we had with him as quarterback. I hope he's not the quarterback next year, and I'll stop ranting about it now. But
I love
the 49ers, and I want to see them prosper. Just like, if you had a friend that was dating somebody that was toxic for them, like, they may be super cool and, you know, have all these things going for them, but they're toxic and they're like ruining your friend's life. Like, it doesn't matter how cool they are, or how, like, you know, handsome they are or beautiful they are. Like, you're going to want the best for your friend. Like, this man is fucking toxic for this team. Like, he's holding them back. Like, he's holding them back from greatness. I want the best for my friend, AKA the 49ers. Like, it's a love thing. It's not a hate thing. Like,
he's Jimmy G, though, is handsome.
I mean, he's a handsome guy. I have no problem admitting he's a handsome guy. He's charismatic. Good, like, you know, that goes a long way. It's a good selling point for people. When you see somebody like that, like, charisma is a natural thing. Like, I get it. People are drawn to the guy because he gets fired up. You hear him, yeah, let's go. Feels great, baby. Yeah, like, all that stuff. Like, that's cool, man. Like, I'm with it. I have somewhere in my fucking closet, I have a Feels Great Baby shirt that I bought last year. I bought into it. But you know, it doesn't feel great, baby, when the fucking quarterback doesn't play and he's fucking missing 2 out of 3 seasons, getting paid all this money to do nothing. He's sitting there taking fucking notes in his notepad like he's Steve from Blue's Clues. Like, what the fuck is he doing, man? Oh, my
God.
Wait,
turned into a roasting session all of a sudden. What the heck?
it's like so cliche for a Disney movie. Jesus.
I'll come on with you, Kobe. We'll do a rant session. But I'm serious, dude. Like, I love the 49ers. I just think that he's holding the 49ers back. I wish him well. I'm happy for all the memories. I don't feel bad for a guy that got paid $84 million to play, like, less than 2 full seasons worth of games. Like,
so, quick tidbits. If Niners beat Seattle, it's probably not going to happen. But if they do happen to beat Seattle, they have the best record in division. Against the division.
If the Niners do,
they would be 4-2 against in their own division. That's insane. So it's possible. I don't think it's going to happen, but everything's possible. Like, look at the Jets and winning. It's 2 playoff teams. I mean, anything's possible at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. Sam, okay. So just to kind of close it out, because we're almost to an hour here, Rob Lauder over on Twitter. He's just a guy that covers the 49ers. I'm pretty sure almost everyone knows him over on Twitter. But he said, just kind of to sum up the Kyle Shanahan talk about Jimmy G, he has a couple of notes that he took. So he said that Kyle Shanahan expects him to be the QB of 2020, obviously. I mean, what else is he going to say? And then he said, nothing is certain. He's not expensive. Proven winner. Believes he'll still get better. Team will look into every option, and then they'll upgrade if they can. So I don't know if he just contradicted himself there in the interview, but
no, he's smart. That's what I'm saying. He sets himself up perfectly where he goes, well, upgrade if we can. If they find somebody they like, oh, I said we would upgrade if we can. I believe this is an upgrade. Right. If they don't find it, he can always say, I said he was my guy, and we didn't think we could upgrade. Jimmy's got, like, Kyle's not fucking stupid, man, but he's also not this transparent person who's just gonna, like, tell everybody what he's thinking and to give away what their plans are, like, organizationally. Right. Like, there's zero benefit to it. Like, I don't know. So I'm going to stop ranting about Jimmy G, and I'm going to focus all my energy on getting Rondale Moore and Justin Ross and 49ers jerseys next year. I'm sick of fucking quarterbacks. Give me wide receivers. Let's fucking load this team up. And when they do figure out the quarterback situation, they'll be loaded.
Oh, man.
Jalen Waddle season.
Jalen Hurd, Jalen Waddle.
Give me can't get Jalen Waddle because they have to spend that first to get Matthew Stafford to throw to the guys that I want to get.
Actually, if Waddle still hurts and he still have that, if he's still injured during, like, the combine and everything, he could, his draft stock could go down.
He's not making it out of the first round, I promise you.
I mean, try let me dream a little, Jordan. Come on now.
No.
I mean, okay. I see mock drafts that are dropping Wilson to 12, so I don't think.
See, anything's possible.
Oh, man. All right. Well, is there anything else you guys would like to add?
Asante Samuel Jr. next year. Let's go.
Start posting tweets. If anybody hears this or sees this, start posting tweets with the hashtag say yes to Rondale Moore. Hashtag 49ers fans love Rondale Moore.
I saw you tweet that earlier.
It's a movement. We're getting it started.
You want to speak for all of us?
Is he at Purdue?
Get in now, or you're not welcome. Yeah, he's Purdue. Watch his tape, dude. I'm telling you, this guy is fucking incredible. You know what he reminds me of? He reminds me of Steve Smith from the Panthers.
Ooh.
That's what Devo reminds me of. Devo reminds me of Steve Smith. Actually, Devo more reminds me of Anquan Boldin, to be honest. And that's what I loved. Anquan Boldin was a beast. I miss him.
We do need to bring Frank Gore back this next
No, year. We're not doing that. No.
That's what I'm ending it with.
No, we're not bringing back Frank Gore. This sounds like
a solid contract so he can take a handoff from Matthew Stafford when they win the Super Bowl next year and Frank Gore scores the winning touchdown. I'm with you, Tommy. Don't let Zach. See, Zach, don't talk about letting people dream.
Jordan. Oh, wow.
Hashtag 49ers love Frank Gore.
let Frank Gore run the 1 yard line.
Let the record state that Zach Greer does not like nor approve of 49er legend Frank Gore. I would like to put that on the record.
I love Frank Gore, but I don't want to hear it now.
Zach Greer doesn't like Frank Gore, hates him, says he's trash, doesn't want him, says he's in the Hall of Fame.
You know, I'm going to have like negative 500 followers just after this.
I'm going to clip this and tweet it out after the show.
I love Frank Gore. Yeah.
We're going to get Frank Gore on one of these episodes 1 year, and he's going to be like, all right, well, remember on December 28th, Zach, when you said you didn't like me?
Jordan said that. I did not say that. I just don't want him on
the
team.
Let the record show that Zach Greer does not like Frank Gore.
It's a shame.
I love Frank Gore.
The man just hit 16,000 yards. Come on, man.
Yeah, but he's going to retire.
He ain't retiring. He's going to be in until someplace.
That's like 2 more years.
Oh, I'm aware.
Thank you for listening, and I do love Frank Gore.
You hate Frank Gore?
I love
Frank Gore. Oh my God, Zach, you hate Frank Gore. We just went over this.